Today we start a journey. It's a great journey. I'm excited for it and I hope you're ready. For the next 5 weeks, well, four, five if you include today, we journey together through John chapter 6. Mark's gospel is shorter than the rest, and so when we get to the point of the lectionary cycle where we go through Mark, there's kind of a gap. And the church in her wisdom says, let's read John 6. So we journey together through this, and I hope you're excited to be with me, because it's a beautiful chapter. And it hits something very deep and very real, very important, but that word doesn't have enough flair to it. This is very special for our faith. Now, in some ways, our entire journey, our entire life as Christians is a pilgrimage, is a journey. And so our journey through John 6 is just a small section of that journey. I've been here walking with you and sharing this journey for the last couple of months. But God set the whole thing up after the fall to be a journey. He calls Abraham and asks him to go to a new land, give him a great nation, a great people. And then his descendants end up in slavery. So he calls Moses and asks Moses to go and continue that journey. And then today in our gospel, we see John elaborate a little on that journey. It's a little hidden, but he's hearkening back to the same overarching plan. The journey of Exodus, the journey from sin into forgiveness, from death into life. Now when we talk about John's gospel, it's good to remember that there's a difference in the timeline. And so this helps us to understand what he's really doing. Jesus dies somewhere around 33 AD, comes to life, and the faith is born. St. Paul, he writes between the years of about 50 and 60 AD, give or take. And then the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they get written somewhere between 60 and 80 AD, just after St. Paul's writings. But John writes last. John writes his gospel somewhere between 90 AD and 100. At the latest, like 110, but somewhere right in that area. And so why do I mention that? Because they've had anywhere from 50 to 70 years of the lived faith, which they called the way, a journey. They've had 60 to 70 years of this practice of the faith before John sits down to write. He's well aware of the teachings of Jesus. They're spread throughout the community. He's well aware of the letters of St. Paul. And he's well aware of the other gospels too. And so when he writes, he's going to be very intentional. He's going to write very specifically. Because if not, why would he write? The story's already been there. The faith has already been practicing. The Mass is already being celebrated from the very beginning. So when John writes, he writes very specifically. Let's talk about this reading now from the very beginning of John 6. It says that Jesus goes up to Galilee and goes across the sea. A crowd followed him because of the signs, and he goes to a mountain. In John 5, right before this, Jesus is down in Jerusalem. So immediately he jumps up to the north of the Holy Land area, goes to Galilee, crosses a body of water, and people follow him because of signs. Well, in Exodus, Moses goes from a land over to Egypt, signs occur, and then they journey out, they cross the Red Sea, and the people follow him. Additionally, John tells us that the Jewish feast of Passover is near. So he's setting this scene and he's saying that there's a similarity here. The Passover is near. That's the sacrifice, the meal that led you out of Egypt. Jesus is going on a journey with signs. So it's important to pay attention and to follow him. And then the water comes into John 6 too. He's going to cross over a couple of different times and you'll hear that. But there's also some very specific words here that make us realize this isn't just a story of a miracle that Jesus performed, although it is. But he's drawing our minds to the Last Supper very specifically with the words that he uses. So, he says now that there's 5 barley loaves. The loaves in Greek is the same word for bread. So our translation in English kind of makes it seem something different, but loaves is bread here. He has them recline. That seems kind of insignificant, but that word that John uses for recline is only used in one other place in his gospel, just one. And it's at the Last Supper, when Jesus reclines, and then the beloved disciple reclines on Jesus' chest. He uses the word take. Jesus takes the loaves. He gives thanks. He distributes. But that word for distribute, it's the same word for break. He breaks the loaves, breaks the bread, gives thanks while they recline. And then at the end, he gathers the fragments. Well, that fragments, that's another English translation, but the word again is breakings. It's the same image. And so this is 50, 60, 70 years after the practice has already been done. The people of that time reading this gospel, there's no confusion as to what John's talking about here. He's very specifically saying, this is the Eucharist. Jesus is drawing us in. He's about to tell us something specific about what we're already practicing. This harkens to the Last Supper very clearly. And then you'll see in the rest of what comes how Jesus elaborates that and starts to unveil this mystery to us. Now, I say that because I want to draw you into the journey. Everything John says here in the next 5 weeks, everything that we read is specific. So, get out your walking shoes, get out your backpack, load up, buckle down, and get ready for the journey. Because this mystery is going to start to unfold before us. And if we dive into it, if we follow directly, then we're going to come to see what it really means. Or at least a bigger glimpse of what it really means. And part of what it means is unity. And that's our second reading. Part of what it means is that we follow as one people, one Lord, one God, who saved us and is continually saving us through one sacrifice. That gets celebrated in this Eucharist that we're discovering in this John 6. That word for give thanks, the Greek word for it is Eucharistia. The Eucharist is a thanksgiving for the goodness of God's mercy for us, the journey that he leads us on, and the journey that we get to walk with John here in the next few weeks. So we thank God for everything. And I thank God for you guys. I thank God for allowing me to walk with you for these last 2 months. This is my last Sunday here, and so I say goodbye, but know that we're not separated. We're unified in a certain way, and we're unified in this sacrifice. The one baptism of death, the life of the resurrection, and this thanksgiving on the altar. So even though I leave here today, and we continue to journey in separate ways apart from each other, we're still together. There's a beautiful phrase that people say sometimes. Different saints have signed their letters this way. When they say goodbye to somebody, they say, I'll see you in the Eucharist. Because it's true, we are in the Eucharist. If we are in Christ and this is Christ's body, then that's us too. We're unified here. We have one leader, our Lord, who performed signs, and so we follow him because we trust him. He offers us that unity in his body and brings us to the promised land, brings us to salvation. We're unified here. I want to make a quick note about persecution because the body will be persecuted. There's a suffering that comes in this sacrifice. There's a suffering that comes with the Lord. But how did our Lord handle it? How did our leader handle it? He took the mockings in silence. He let people spit on his face. And he suffered it in love for them. He prayed for them. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. If they knew, they would not mock him. They would not have put him to death, but they did. And he let them because he loved them. So when we're persecuted, I just want to say, in unity, together, as one body with our Lord, we die into it. And we give thanks to God, because in that death, he brings us life. And in this Eucharist, he brings us food for the journey, life to carry on, and to walk with our Lord. So, praise God. Thanks be to God for his great goodness, the life and the journey he leads us on. I'll see you in the Eucharist.